This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that is well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. Four Sigmatic's mushroom coffee is real, organic, fair trade, single origin Arabica coffee with lion's mane mushroom for productivity and shaga mushroom for immune support. I've been starting my day with Four Sigmatic's ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane instead of regular coffee, and I love how it helps me focus so I can get shit done. It's amazing, and I absolutely feel an uptick in my productivity every time I drink it. It helps me focus like nothing else. Mushroom coffee is also easy on my gut and doesn't leave me with that awful jittery feeling or midday crash.
This is so cool, Zach. I had a friend come from Asheville. She stayed with me. We were running a half marathon together. I'm just like, hey, you know, we got the half marathon later today. Do you want to start your day with some coffee? She was like, actually, no. And I go, oh, you don't do coffee? She goes, sorry, Johnny, I only do Four Sigmatic. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Look over here. She was like, what? And I'm just like, I do a podcast. Of course I drink Four Sigmatic. Who doesn't? She is like, Johnny Fairplay, you are the man. Let's start our day right. How cool is that, Zach?
That's incredible. Hey, she knows what's up.
All Four Sigmatic products are organic, vegan, and gluten-free. And every single batch is third-party lab tested to ensure its purity and safety. So you know you're getting the highest quality coffee and mushrooms possible. Now, you're probably thinking, does this coffee taste like mushrooms? I can guarantee it tastes just like the coffee you love. It brews dark and nutty and tastes incredible. Over 20,000 five-star reviews. And best of all, Four Sigmatic backs their products with a 100% money-back guarantee. Love every sip or get your money back.
And we've worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee, and it's just for Reality NSFW listeners. Get up to 40% off and free shipping on mushroom coffee bundles. To claim the deal, you must go to foursigmatic.com/survivor. This offer is only for Reality NSFW listeners and is not available on their regular website. You'll save up to 40% and get free shipping. So go right now to foursigmatic.com/survivor and fuel your productivity and creativity with some delicious mushroom coffee.
What's going on? Welcome to Reality NSFW. Professor Tim watches Survivor. We're talking about season 4, Marquesas, episode number 3. I am Lauren Pratt, joined with me by Cody. Professor Tim is here. I'm sure he has a lot to say about this episode. So we'll start with you, Professor Tim. What did you think of it?
Oh, no. We should start with Cody because it's so exciting to see both of you today, and I feel I don't want to pull everything into a downer in the first 5 minutes. So off you go, come on, Cody.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I'll just take this right off the top. I have to start off by saying, first of all, I'm feeling it tonight because I've got my Reality NSFW hat on.
You really have. Yeah, it's lovely,
isn't it, Ray?
We're all almost hatted. You're banded.
I'm not wearing a signature hat tonight. I'm sorry. I will come prepared next week with my signature.
I think there is no reality TV without head attire. So You know, we're going to have to start coming with more fantastic creations each week.
We need some rewind swag. That's what we need.
Yes, but not t-shirts. I can't wear a visible t-shirt. I do wear t-shirts, but they're not visible. Where they go, God knows, but they're not visible. But I want to know who TV Mania 2 is. I don't know. Do I think it does TV drive one into a mania?
We'll find out.
We need identity from TV Mania, who missed this podcast last week. So did I. But in the last fortnight, something strange has happened to my What do you think? Do you guys think I should get the Reality NSFW Rewind logo tattooed? Absolutely not, Sam. Absolutely not. No. Tattoos. There's actually a reality TV show entirely dedicated to tattooing. So if you want to do it on the telly, do it. You have my blessing, but don't do it for pleasure. I'm expecting Carmen Miranda. So am I. Any fruits around? I'll go for a cucumber. What I was going to say was the other week, I was in Technicolor, and now I'm drifting into some sort of gray monochrome. Don't you think, Cody?
It look a little light tonight, Professor Tim. I'm not sure what's going on. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I was blue. I couldn't figure out why I was blue or why I looked like Violet from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And then tonight, we have Professor Tim here, and he's headed to monochrome.
Oh, my goodness. There we are.
We'll get it all figured out.
Willy Wonka is amazing. I love Willy Wonka. Of course, you do have to be very, very careful about how you pronounce that. But Roald Dahl. I'm sure I was at university with one of his daughters or something. I know I was.
I misspoke. It was Violet, not Veronica. I think I said Veronica.
It's Violet Beauregard, isn't it?
Yes, that's the correct.
Who blows up to a sort of blue perfection. There we are. in Britain, that would be Mrs. Thatcher. Now let's get started, because I said I was going to go on a downer here, and I really am. Oh my goodness, I watched this program a week ago in preparation for our podcast last week, which sadly TV Mania 2 didn't happen. And then I thought today, I need to revise it. I've got my notes here, but I don't really understand them. And then I read through my notes and I realized I couldn't watch it again, because once was quite enough. This was a program where I spent most of the program with my eyes closed and my head practically between my knees and thinking, not in a good way, and thinking, this is not something I want to ever watch again. It was one of the most horrific. It was worse than the food programs. We're not talking sort of all these chef reality programs, but it was the ugly food. That wasn't this episode, was it? No, that was last episode.
Yeah, that was the last episode.
Yeah, this was worse. This was worse. Injuries. I mean, I realize now why I'm not a nurse or a doctor, and how wonderful they are, and how I have to take my hat off to them all the time. We do not want to see that stuff again and again and again, and certainly not to the same accident-prone individual twice in one episode.
In the season,
who happens to be that? I think he was just demonstrating his trade. And Sam is saying, "Are you excited about the tribe swap next week?" I don't know about the tribe swap next week. Don't give me don't give me spoilers. I'm being so good and trying not to look ahead. Sam, you're destroying the illusion. So next week we're going to have a tribe swap. Well, thank God, because one tribe, Muramu, is getting so small it can be blown out of the sea with no effort at all. So I found the wince factor today so unpleasant. I don't watch the preview at the end of the program.
For me, it was particularly when Rob D. had his toe injury. That was
that was the eel, wasn't it?
Was like 5 minutes of this episode just focused on this guy's foot.
Oh yeah, the foot injury was pretty awful. That was the one on the stone. Then there was the eel, and then what was the other one?
The eel was on the
thumb or something.
The sea urchin was my favorite part.
Yeah. What? And then there was a sea urchin. I just thought, it's too much in one episode. My stomach was doing sort of 180 degree turns. Actually, that's not a complete turn, is it? That's just sort of half turn. That's that's turn around. No, it was doing 360 degree revolutions. It was a parabolic transformation. And I'm sure if there'd been one more injury, there would have been some upchucking and some serious vomit around the place. Instead, I had to leave that to Bay and Hannum. They vomited on cue. Alex, very nice to see you again.
Thank
God Kathy was there to say.
Alex, oh yeah,
she had to relieve the pain for John on his hand.
I, you know, I, Of course, you know, chance urination I find very entertaining, but we just got everything in today's episode. Everything sort of grim, and I don't want to see Survivor in that level of reality. I want my reality to be slightly sort of rose tinted. And this was just too much. If people are going to starve, that's fine. If they're going to hurt themselves and they're going to have to urinate in front of the camera, that's not something I really want to see. Thank God we didn't have sound effects for the for the relieving on the hand.
My gosh. So you're telling me right here that none of your noteworthy quotes are part of any of those three segments?
No. I had to close my eyes. I had to duck under the desk while I was sort of. I only watched about a third of this episode. It was just too painful to actually watch. I filled a page of sort of nonsense and sweet pea, and immediately I read that and I think of urination again. The whole thing is just it's just one sort of. It's one monumental reality dump. And I think this is an episode that should be consigned, well, not even to history. It shouldn't be consigned to the history books. It should be one of those episodes which is thankfully lost to time.
I don't think we can lose the whole thing, though, because I do think that the moment with Kathy urinating on John's hand is one of the most iconic moments in Survivor history, believe it or not. If you're a serious Survivor fan, they know that moment.
Yeah, if you're going to mark your moments of reality TV history, with iconography that involves somebody squatting over somebody else's hand, I think we've reached a depth which we've plumbed a depth which I think, you know. But wasn't there a scene where somebody had to pee on somebody's leg or something in something like Lost? Possibly.
I've never watched Lost, I'll be honest with you.
I think there was a so hasn't this happened before?
I mean,
it was in Friends. It was in Friends, of course. It was Monica, and there we are. But we didn't actually have to see it in Friends. I mean, there we are. TV Mania has almost beaten me to it. How do I know these sort of tidbits of TV ephemera? God knows.
What I have to know is you just didn't appreciate how quickly Kathy was jumping the gun to sprint there.
If you notice, she didn't jump the gun that quickly. She got Pascal to try first, and he had stage fright.
Well, she was there.
Yeah,
she got up and moved there. But
no.
Pascal just couldn't.
As far as
make it happen.
Yes, exactly. So I think we had Pascal straining. We're back to our cucumbers again. We really will be there with Carmen Miranda next time. But we will call it Pascal. But now on Lost, Hurley tried to get Jin to do it for him, but Jin didn't want to do it. Yes, there we are. And now, doesn't Jin turn up in another program about the end of the world as well? He's a very versatile actor. I rather like him. He turns up in a program with Ralph Fiennes' brother, and Ralph Fiennes' uncle is an Orthodox priest, an archimandrite. All terribly exciting. There we are. I want to call her Vesepta.
She's not Vesepta.
Vesepia.
There you go.
She seems to be coming into her own more as the weeks progress. I'm rather taking to her. That's the only positive thing I have to bring to this episode at all. We had the raft collision. Do you say raft or do you say raft?
Raft. I say raft.
There we are. Let's
and buoy.
But every normal person says raft in Britain. It's only people down in the south who say raft.
Well, at least it's better than you. You were confused when I said buoy, and you're like, "Oh, a boy."
Yeah, no, actually, a boy, absolutely. It's a boy. There's nothing else that sticks out in terms of nomenclature today, which where I can go off on one. So, but we did have the raft collision, which is like Robinson Crusoe gone dreadfully wrong, or Swiss Family Robinson in trouble. And then what did we have? We had two coconuts, which I put down here as a disturbing image. Now, why would that be?
That must have been, I'm assuming that you are referring to the immunity challenge where they had the coconut maze race.
Oh, God, that was unendurable. It was like watching scrotums. Or is it scrota? It was just sort of, where does this man get off on these things? What's his name? It begins with a P.
Probst.
Probst, my favorite man. How does he come up with this stuff? Every single episode so far in this series has been loaded with phallic imagery. And does he know? Why is he encouraging this sort of thing? And he's looking so neat. So neat.
Love, I mean, that challenge. There's another one coming up later on down the road.
Oh, is there another one? It's going to be worse. I think we have to get the caricature book out and start doing Probst imagery for
you agree it's going to be worse?
Yeah.
Memorialize.
We're going to have a lot of moments in the upcoming seasons as we progress through Survivor
I'm going to have moments this evening when I'm just thinking about it. So anticipating all this stuff. Anyway, shall we run through this in sort of order, and then I can check whether my notes are going to pop, anything else are going to pop out. Patricia, why have I got Patricia down there? Is Patricia still there? She is, isn't she? Yes.
No. She got voted out, but you probably saw previously on Survivor.
Previously. Yes. You see, I quite liked Patricia. Did I like Patricia? I don't remember.
You did in the second episode, not so much the first episode.
That's right. Now one thing I found really really exciting and really disturbing about this one was Rob and talking about Sarah. Now, you know, the Me Too people, anybody who's very keen on Me Too at the moment should probably not listen to this bit, but Rob says, Sarah will vote how I tell her to. I find that so. Surely that was sexist and rather unforgivable, even in 2002 or whenever it was.
I do feel like in that moment he's targeting Sarah specifically because their alliance is pretty strong.
Well, it's in the boat.
I think he's going on to. He's trying to gain a power role in the tribe. Yeah, he wants everybody in his alliance to be in that way. So
he dictates and they do. That's not an alliance. That's dictatorship.
Exactly. What does it say? He said a quote at one point. He said, it doesn't matter if his alliance is strong physically or mentally, as long as they obey. So more or less, he wants to be a leader without being in the forefront and people recognizing that he's
absolutely, and he stresses this as well. He's preparing for the most monumental fall. I know you say he comes back again and again, but you know, so do some diseases. It's disturbing. I hope he's going to improve with his manifestations as they repeat. Should we call them variations? Variations: alpha, beta, gamma, delta, I liked Rob initially. Now in this episode, I think he's repulsive.
You're going to say
next that you've got him booked for next week as a guest, aren't
you?
Yeah,
he's coming on the show next week specifically to meet with you.
just to give you a hard time, Professor.
I'm afraid I'm still going to say that in this episode he comes across as utterly, utterly repulsive.
He does. I think that this season for Boston Rob is his least appealing season that he participates in.
And you're being very polite. He is repulsive.
Yeah. He in later he becomes TV a very controversial leader in Survivor because some people love him, some people hate him. Mostly because he becomes kind of like the poster child of Survivor in the future that you'll see.
I won't give away
too much more, but he
is. Yeah. Is he going to replace Probst? Probst, the icons and what is idols? at the moment in British in British vernacular, Rob is Rob is very much acquiring that that imagery. He's behaving like a monumental idol.
Well, he was just very arrogant, very cocky in this episode. Just
yes, I was thinking of that word, but with a slightly different meaning. But yes, I. He is unbelievable, and so cocky. We know it's edited after the event, so it is clearly edited, sort of to set him up for a fall. If he doesn't go out next week or the week after, I think I probably would eat my hat.
Have to give him credit, though. You have to give him a little bit of credit in the sense of he recognizes that he is similar to Hunter, but he's found a way to rein that in and not be as vocal and be that type of leader that Hunter
yes,
was.
But you can't,
and that's why he did well, though, because then he had people not targeting him. They were looking at Hunter instead of him being that.
But you leader. can't shut your mouth to the rest of the group and brag about it in confessional. This is the problem, that there are two sides to people's characters, maybe. But ideally, you want to be able to say the same thing to whoever you're talking to. That's called honesty, and you can do honesty with tactics and strategy. You don't need to be unbelievably dishonest and unbelievably sort of dissolute and nasty in that way. It's I don't understand the lure to be so deceitful and so piggish. He's a piggy. It's not attractive, and he set off so well. He should take a few lessons from Vesepia, who is, you know, she's got class, she starts off as a sort of slow burn, and Sean, of course, I'm still a Sean fan.
So how are you feeling about Sean and Sarah after this episode? You're still on the Sean,
oh Sarah
Sean fan.
Oh Sarah, I have no interest in Sarah at all, really. but I'm a Sean and Vesepia fan. I think they come as a package, they're creating this very firm alliance, and I think Sean looks better because he's attached to Vesepia. Vesepia is the machine that's driving that one.
Do you have any specific thoughts on Gina? Because we're in week three now. You're seeing a little bit of her here and there. So.
Gina. No, I have no thoughts of Gina at all. In fact, I don't. I'm just looking here. Do I even have any mention of Gina? I don't. Tell me about Gina. Who is Gina?
Well, basically, I mean, she was Hunter's partner. They were always together, working hard. She's a very hard worker on that tribe, but she was always going to align herself with Hunter because she thought he was the strongest person there and knew exactly what he was doing.
She was the person that at the start of the episode was talking to Sarah, saying like, hey, I voted for you because of what you said at Tribal mm-hmm. Council last night about conserving her energy. And I believe that in that Tribal Council, Gina spoke back to her saying, you know, if you're conserving your energy, I have to work twice as hard. So what's happening to mine?
Well, I mean, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to say, but it's extraordinary. Gina has just sort of eluded me. How is that possible? Have I mentioned Gina before? I don't think I have.
I don't think we've talked about her a lot, but
we've never talked about her. She hasn't invaded my consciousness. If she says things, it sort of
irrelevant. Should I be should I be checking out Gina? Should I be really sort of should I be on the Gina fan club? Am I missing something?
I don't know. That's why I was asking what your thoughts were of her so far. But
my thoughts don't even she doesn't register. She certainly doesn't register on the page. And I've got a few pages of notes here.
She isn't anywhere.
She isn't anywhere, and I don't have my list of all the players in front of me today. So I can't even consult that. She has made no impact on me at all. You say she's been speaking, but you know, isn't that shocking? Did she do a lot of speaking? Did I have a senior moment? I'm now 60. I can claim senior moments.
She did a fair bit of speaking, but okay.
None of it registered. Lauren, isn't this awful? I'm going to be joining Rob and saying that and accusing myself of sexism. Why is it that I haven't noticed her? Why haven't I noticed her?
She has spoken excessively more than Zoe from Row 2.
Yeah, but I like Zoe because of her name, and you know she's got that sort of Greek thing. Anybody called Zoe is going to get my vote. We all want that. Only she's either going to be called Zoe or Chaim, and either way, I just think, yep, that's something to hang on to. But now that we say this, of course, I can't think of anything Zoe's done. Oh dear, this is awful, Gina, no.
But see, now I instilled it in your mind, and you're going to be looking out for Gina next week?
I am going to be looking out for Gina next week, and Gina is obviously going to become one of these people that I'm not going to be able to get away from. But at the moment, I can't even. Can you describe her? Can you tell what does she look like?
Cody, take it away.
Come on!
She's a younger lady. She has black hair. She's 28 years old.
That means nothing. Go on. I can't remember what 28 feels like.
It wasn't that long ago, Professor Tim. She's,
it's half a lifetime ago, Cody.
She's a nature guide. You might remember that. You're very into what people do outside of Survivor.
Yes, doesn't mean anything.
She's a thin lady, dark hair, like shoulder lengths.
No. She's made no impression at all. That's awful, isn't it? Sarah has made more of an impression on me.
Well, Sarah's hard to ignore.
Yes, but she doesn't
despite
do anything.
Despite her lackluster involvement around camp, she's difficult to ignore.
She's the decoration.
Sometimes that's how people become memorable on Survivor, just by not being good at it.
Wait a minute, TV Mania is saying something really shocking. He's saying, it's funny because at the time of the season, Gina was the most popular player of the season, and I've noticed several female players that were popular in their season haven't registered with you. Yes, TV Mania, what has happened to me? Why have I not noticed these people, specifically Colleen from Borneo and Elizabeth from Australia? You're quite right. I don't seem to notice these people.
Thank you for bringing up Elizabeth TV Mania, because I was, who is Pascal's new buddy? Why can't I think of that right now?
Sweet Pea. Pixie.
Oh, Nalia. Yeah.
Yes, Nalia. Thank you. Yep. So as I'm watching that like relationship blossom and unfold, I could only think of Elizabeth and Roger from Australia and their mm-hmm. relationship. I was like, there's just such a parallel
yes.
storyline here.
Yes, and again, Elizabeth didn't particularly register with me. TV Mania is quite right. I like people to actually do something. I don't like them to sort of coattail to somebody else and just think that they're going to attract my attention. But then, on the other hand, Sarah's done that, hasn't she? And Sarah has definitely caught my attention.
Mm-hmm. I do like partnerships and alliances, because if you can find someone that you're super close with and trust them 100%, you can go a really long way in these games, because you have to trust somebody. And once you find that person and you're loyal to them, you can go very far. But eventually you might have to cut them loose. But it's timing's everything.
And I agree with Lauren, because I think the riding coattails can be a strategy to an extent. Like, it can get you so far in the game, but eventually you're going to get to a point where you have to do something to set yourself apart, or else you're going to get to the end and nobody's going to have any anything positive to say about you in the jury. Nobody's going to have any positive perception of you. They're not going to want to vote for you because you just rode coattails the whole way. You got to get it like to the merge or just past the merge, and then you've got to start playing your own game and kind of build up that resume a little bit, in my opinion, to make it to the end. So it can be a strategy for a period of time, but it can't be your strategy all the way to the end.
You see, I think there's two games that need to be, or two issues that need to be played in this sort of program. Number one is the game, which is the strategy and the alliances. Number two is the development of character and friendship and the sort of the rapport that you've got with the whole group. And that second bit seems to get lost, and I don't quite understand why it's lost. To me, that seems the only reason for doing these programs. But Survivor has lasted. You're going to tell me Survivor becomes entirely focused on strategy and alliance, and character development is lost completely. And it survived for 20 odd years. So clearly I'm wrong. So clearly I have to revise my understanding of what these programs are supposed to be about. I mean, this is what I find sort of irritating about any reality TV program that moves away from character and friendship. And I think, oh God, what's going on?
Now, I wonder, I have a question for you about that. Do you think that your experience as a contestant on The Circle UK has formed that that perception for you?
Yes. And I was going to say, but also watching it, but I've not watched myself really on Circle UK, so that's a foolish statement to have tried to have made. Watching other people on the Circle, well, actually, all the international versions of the Circle moved heavily towards strategy and alliance. So really, I'm only thinking about Circle One, you see, in my mind is the idea that what we're interested in is the development of character from point A to point C through this experience of the game, which is B. But I think I might be wrong, and I'm very happy to. But Sam is saying you have to sit back in the early game. What does he mean?
He's more or less saying, like, in the beginning of the season, you know, early in the game, you don't want to be on top, you don't want to be on the bottom. You want to kind of be.
I agree. Sitting back. I agree, but I think there's a practical reason for that. You have to you have to observe, and you have to watch other people, and you have to sort of build these relationships, because otherwise it doesn't matter what sort of practical alliances or what strategies you've got. There's a deeper sense of camaraderie.
Well, so far that's what Giuseppe has been doing. Giuseppe has been
low,
observing everyone, watching what they're doing.
Yep, and Sean has been a little bit more vocal, which is why I think Sean is not the driving force here. Giuseppe is the driving force, and she's got her opinions, and she's not shy of advancing those, particularly in confessional. But she's very, very cautious and. Not in that sort of disingenuous way. I find her admirable. I think
that she's playing a great early game. She's not taking the role as
she's not only playing a great game, but she's a great character, and she's a clever person.
Absolutely.
You know, I think. We've got Sean does this extraordinary thing where he talks about. I've got down here, perhaps not very polite. I say Sean bitches about the golden boy. Oh, he's talking about Hunter, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not a Hunter fan.
This is all the alpha male rivalry, isn't it? Hunter. Hunter should have, Hunter's a good character. I looked him up, by the way. He's an aviator.
He is. He's a Navy pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he is a great character, and I think that
he's hosted TV. He's done something on the History Channel, something about archaeology, digging for the truth.
He said there's something, a lot of television
and something
stuff,
about something about atomic beam flashlight. I presume that's not naughty. Atomic beam. I don't know what an atomic beam flashlight is.
I think it's just
is.
A really bright flashlight, and right. he did like an infomercial sort of thing about it. He's been in a few of those, like product spotlight infomercials.
Oh, so basically that's advertising.
Right.
Right, yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I think
could he have played it differently?
I think it would have been in his best interest to, I think his problem is that he knows what needs to get done. You know, he does have great ideas, but his approach to trying to lead his tribe is what's putting them off and what got him voted out.
But if he didn't, who would? I mean, who? Somebody has to, I'm afraid. That's the problem, because they're all over the place.
Hunter would have benefited from, honestly, being on the other tribe, because the other tribe is more work-heavy. They're very efficient with their time and what they want to do. The tribe he's on, they kind of want to sit back and relax a little bit more. And he's
I think that's a misjudgment. That's not how I read it initially. And the point is they've had this string of disasters. I think they're basically depressed. And they're sort of giving up. This is where we actually need somebody like Hunter, but doing a sort of character building moment.
He's trying, but no one's jumping on board with it. He wants people to go out and do these things, and no one wants to do anything. So I think he tried, but if you're not on the same page as an entire group, I think that's why you do end up losing, because you don't have that chemistry.
Do you think he's somehow being undermined by Rob?
I mean, Rob voted for him tonight.
Yeah.
So that's a very good possibility.
Yeah.
Only himself. Who else was it that was left out of the vote? I've got it down here somewhere.
Gina was left out of the vote.
Gina and Hunter are the only two that voted for Sarah. Everybody else placed their votes on Hunter, which was a little bit surprising, because I feel like leading up to Tribal Council, his name wasn't really out there at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. I didn't expect it. And who did I expect was going to go out today?
I thought it was going to be Sarah, the first
yes,
time around.
It looked as if it was going to be Sarah or Sean. That was it. We were led to think Sean was in danger.
Yeah. Sean's name was being tossed around.
Which was just absurd. I mean, Sean was in no danger at all, and Tribal Council proved that. This, again, is just a sort of editing ruse to sort of lead us towards the end of the alphabet so that we're not... not waylaid. Just silly, really. And there's a sort of simplistic. It is beautifully edited and beautifully filmed. Yes. And there's still moments where it's sort of ravishing to look at. Even with my pixelated version, but
it's pretty pixelated for all of us, to be fair, because this is like before Survivor was.
But it's edited.
HD.
But Cody, Lauren, it's edited so in such a sort of cack-handed way. Please tell me that Survivor editing gets a little less sort of predictable, because I literally at the moment I could predict almost anything that happens within the first 5 minutes of the episode because of the edit.
Depending on the season, yes. So I'll say yes and no. It just honestly depends on the season. Some seasons, they do a really great job keeping you on your toes as a viewer. And other seasons, you can just predict everything that's going to happen based on how the episode starts and what's occurring.
So TV Mania and Sam, you must tell me, because you're being quite vocal in the comments here. Am I being particularly... Well, I think silly. I think or astute. I'm not quite sure what is the best description here. in the fact that I feel that I can predict what's going to happen because simply because of the edit, or is this just pure chance? So do let me know. Now, basically, it's the two duos of Rob and Sarah and Sean and Vesepia voting together. Oh, do you think so? Yeah, maybe. Well, there's so few people in Muramu. Muramu, it sounds like a baby word, doesn't it, really? It's a sort of Muramu. It's probably the first word you say when you're small. What was his first word? Muramu.
That'll be the Yellow Tribe.
You're gonna get the correct pronunciation one of these weeks.
Now, Sam is saying you are using Edgic to figure out the winner. What's Edgic? Oh, the logic of editing. Yes, I am. I think I find it almost impossible. Even when I was on the circle, I was using, I was observing the fact that the cameras were moving around the apartment. I was thinking, if the cameras are moving, then they're interested in what I'm doing, and I have to do more of it. So I've always got a mind to we've got a cat. I've always got a mind towards editing. Sometimes not self-editing, but I am always rather aware of what happens if you add this to if you add a camera to this scene. Yeah. How would you cut that?
Well, let's take a quick break and hear a quick word from our sponsors.
By the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. You can't focus and you feel tired.
Drinking enough water is critical for a healthy lifestyle that you're trying to maintain. It increases your brain power, boosts your productivity. It can prevent headaches and it'll increase your focus. Not only that, it improves your skin and mood and it can help with your digestion and give you energy. Wow, it also prevents bad breath and can help you lose weight. But how much water should you drink each day? 10 cups? A gallon? The good news is that it doesn't have to be so complicated. That's why I start my day with Hydrant, because Hydrant helps you hydrate faster.
Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly and keeps you going for longer. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes that your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and it packs a punch to help your body hydrate fast and stay hydrated. If you're looking for that extra boost of energy, there's also Hydrant Plus Caffeine, which contains 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. It also is loved by pro athletes, top performers, celebrities, and has thousands of five-star reviews.
It's made with real fruit juice powder. It's delicious and refreshing, and it comes in a variety of flavors, including iced tea, lemonade, and fruit punch. My favorite personally is the grapefruit. It's a classic and I go back to it. It's delicious. Plus, this stuff is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. You really need to try it for yourself to see what I'm talking about. It tastes incredible and it works.
Well, Hydrant starts at just $1 a packet for a 30-day supply, and you save even more with a monthly subscription. And it's so easy to get. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save 25% off your first order. We're not kidding here, folks. 25%. Go to drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR for 25% off your first order. That's drinkhydrant.com/survivor and enter promo code SURVIVOR to save 25%. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you'll love, but without all the bad stuff.
We're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And there's only 140 calories a serving. This stuff's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, Birthday Cake. Birthday Cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it now while you can. You can also do the Build Your Own box with available flavors to build your own custom bundle with cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon. If you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. Great news all around.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday. Go, Zach. It's your birthday. But also go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. Be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their products, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thanks, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday.
I must say, I'd love to be Zach so that I could have a birthday, but I clearly have to do it in Canada or the US so that I can get my guilt-free custom bundle. I don't think I'm going to have a guilt-free time in the UK. I think we're denied our birthday cake breakfast cereal.
You'd have to have it shipped to one of us, and we'd have to forward it to you in the UK so that...
Well, I could eat it through the internet. I'd be sort of gobbling up the television or something. Intravenous. It would be a new form of Wi-Fi.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. With
wireless
milk or
breakfast
without.
Cereal.
Yeah, I could get my my Virgin Media to start lactating, but anyway, sorry.
I was going to circle back to the beginning of this season when Lauren and I were on Team Row 2, and Professor Tim was on Team Mara Amu.
Oh yes, I've clearly gone completely wrong with that, haven't I?
Have you jumped ship now? Or are you?
Well, I would be completely perverse to think that Muramu is going to win in its present form, but I still think the winner is in Muramu. I still think it's going to be Sean or the Sepia, because they're the only two with the sort of character to see it through. Pascal is not a winner, for example, sadly.
Zoe's gonna win.
Zoe has one thing going for her. That's her name. It's lovely. I love her. I look out for her. I think Team Zoe. But you know, I know this is a losing ticket. She's not going anywhere. once Roto start losing, she will be out. I'm afraid there's a number of them, because I think also there's a nasty edge to the entire selection of players in this season. They're all out to strip the potential winners and get them out. So I think that's particularly why the Sepia's quiet confidence is a winning formula. I mean, Gabriel has got a sort of X marks the spot on his back, I think, because he's picking up too much attention. Pascal will make it through for a while, but he's sort of father figure, and when they think they don't need any more father figure, out he'll go. These people are ruthless. I don't understand why. You know, when I play chess, there's two games going on. There's the game on the board where where I always hope that I'm going to be rather brilliant, but I know that I'm not. But if I were, I would be brilliant. But then there's a second game, which is where I giggle maniacally when I realize what's going to happen next. And I would love it if what was going to happen next would be my winning. Actually, what I see is sort of three moves hence, I lose, and I'm in paroxysms of giggles. And what I don't see is that second game happening. What I don't see is the pleasure of people losing or winning, and therefore growing in friendship through playing the game. All I see is the game. All I see is the chess pieces on the board. And I think that's a failing with this episode. I saw the giggling certainly in the first season. I saw it a little bit in the second season, and I think I saw elements of it in the Africa season, because everybody was up against the elements so much. There was a sort of bonding element there, but I don't see it at all in this.
I don't know, Professor Tim. I'm a little concerned that you're not going to like Survivor very much as time goes on.
No, believe me. We're just going to turn a corner, and I'm just going to enjoy pummeling it, I suspect. But we'll start with Jeff Probst, because he's in every episode in some form.
I'm just remembering back to last week where my jaw was hitting the floor with some of the comments that were said, especially your quotes that I wasn't prepared for. So do you have any noteworthy quotes?
No, the only quotes I've got is Rob saying that he is like Hunter, but he would not let it show, nothing alarming about that. And what's this thing about bitten by a no-no?
Oh, yes, that's right. Those are the little bugs that fly around that everybody is covered in bites from.
Yeah. No, so that was just unpleasant.
I feel like this episode, in a nutshell, was very anticlimactic, with the exception of Kathy peeing on John's hand.
There you go.
That was the whole purpose behind this episode, was so that we could watch Kathy pee on John's hand. That was it.
I'm sure there's a Greek word for that, by the way, but I can't remotely think what it is.
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
The only word which is going through my head is incontinence,
I think that's in a different category.
This was an emergency medical
procedure. This is science at work.
Yeah, well, my older cat is all for science. Every so often she snuggles into my cardigan, and clearly she thinks that I've been infected by some sort of anemone, a sea anemone, because within minutes she's peeing for Britain, and it's very warm. But a little bit smelly, and I don't go out very much these days. So I suspect the next time I actually go out in company, people are going to think, "Oh, Tim," or they'll identify me from the other end of the corridor, and I'd be like one of these sort of people who has cats, and I do, but you know, they reach the age of 18 or 19, and incontinence calls. Or obviously sea anemones. But so would cat pee work as well as human pee? It would, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I think the chemical makeup may be different.
Yeah.
Maybe something you get, because I don't know what that is.
Anthony Eros is Xefluthizome. I think he's literally... I think he's literally quoting modern Greek there in some form, but I don't recognize it because it's all in English script, and that's a bit disturbing. Google Translate. No, we don't need the Google Translate. There must be an actual word, which I suspect is derived from the Greek for somebody who pees on somebody else's hand.
That's something you just have to look up after the podcast. But what I do want to know, going into next week, do you have any predictions of what could potentially be happening?
Oh, Sarah's out. As long as Muramu is on this sort of crashing way. But oh no, and I now know, thanks to TV Mania 2, there's going to be a tribe swap or something. So Muramu needs to be stacked up a little bit. So Muramu needs some help.
So what can help them? So obviously when you have tribe swaps, things switch from both angles and you're going to be mixed and mingled with everyone. So who would specifically help that other tribe? But then you have to also remember that they could be stuck with whoever.
Good question. I can't. Well, if I were production, I would probably break up Sean and Vesepia if I wanted to stir up trouble. But
TV Mania 2 would like to clear their name. They didn't spoil the tribe swap. That was Sam. They said,
"Oh, it was Sam. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." TV Mania, I huge apologies.
Guys, if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking it's a little lackluster this week, that's just because this episode kind of sucked.
Really?
You're being way too nice about it, like just by saying it sucked. It was atrocious. It was terrible.
Well, it was not only atrocious, it lacked edge, except in the sort of let's duck beneath the desk because I don't want to watch this.
I really hope that it's going to pick up.
It cannot be any worse than this. If if this is what Jeff Probst thinks is entertainment, I can't imagine how he was recommissioned. But there we are. He has been, so presumably something interesting happens. Happened later. Raft collision. It's like sort of Robinson Crusoe on a bad day. Actually, on that subject, let's go off at a little tangent because it's much more exciting. Now, Lauren, what is your earliest television memory? I'll let you know where this tangent comes from, because my earliest television memory, I've got three or four. I've got a program which probably means nothing to you in the States called Romper Room, but I have a feeling that it was a States import into the UK, which the UK sort of had a franchise on, and then we have this woman with a beehive hairdo saying Romper Stomper Romper Room, and I can see you, and I really wanted her to say Timothy, but she never did. No matter how many times I got somebody to write in for me, she never said. And you are three today. Maybe four, but you don't remember Romper Room? No. Okay. So there was Romper Room, but then the three programs I really remember. One was Robinson Crusoe with a very distinctive theme tune in black and white. The other one was a thing called White Horses, and the third one was a thing called Belle and Sebastian. So come on, Lauren, what were your earliest television memories? It wasn't Survivor, was it?
So I was six at the time when Survivor did start.
So it might have been Survivor.
Well, I did watch. Yeah, I've seen it since I was watching from the beginning. So I remember Survivor. But I would say, honestly, sports, to be completely.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. What, like the football, Olympics or something?
No. Like football and basketball, that was always on when I was a young kid. But then I would just say, you know, the little kid shows that you would watch when you're younger, I guess I remember those. But if anything that stands out, it would be NFL football.
We need to get people who are watching this later to scribble underneath this this YouTube thing, when it's on the YouTube, to scribble
lists of their of their first memories of TV, so that we've got some we've got some interesting comments, because it's so nice to collect these first memories. So yours is NFL
football. Yeah.
What's that an acronym for?
National Football League.
National Football League. I am a ride or die New York Giants fan.
Oh my goodness, excellent. And Cody, what's your first memory of television?
So, like Lauren said, I guess kind of some of the just kid shows that you watch when you're
a kid. Yeah, what? None of what? Them, none come of them, on. Confess.
None of them stand out to me significantly. Most of the time, I was like, if I was watching TV with my dad, there's a show here called MASH.
I know MASH.
You know, yes. MASH. Okay.
I know MASH, absolutely.
So my dad watched MASH all the time and old Westerns. He liked to watch those a lot. So most of the time as a kid, those are the types of things that I watched a lot of. John Wayne movies, things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Movies on a Saturday afternoon, maybe.
Yes.
Do you have that? Or did you have that?
No, I think there was like a Thursday night, family night movie.
All right. No.
Thing.
I remember as a child, we used to have this sort of Saturday matinee thing in Britain, but we only had one channel when I was very small, and then we got BBC Two, which was, and I think we also had ITV, but it was all very exciting, and it was in black and white, and then suddenly colour emerged, and people had these sort of bright pink dresses and things, and, you know, they looked as if they'd been hit in the face sometimes. They were so brightly coloured. But anyway, Jamie and his magic torch is one here. And so you have no memory of TV from beyond 7 years ago.
I think it's because Sam said watching Big Brother Canada.
Oh,
well, I think that's perfectly reasonable. It would be so iconic. You couldn't think of anything before that. Time starts with Big Brother.
I have a good one. So obviously Nickelodeon, there's a lot of really good shows. Legends of the Hidden Temple comes to mind. That was iconic.
Are
now casting for adult version for Legends of the Hidden Temple.
How brilliant. So you had a taste of reality TV very early on.
Yeah, with Survivor, because I was really young with that, and then once I started watching it, I never quit.
Oh my goodness! And Cosmo and Dibs, I don't know what that is at all.
I remember Cosmo, yes.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what it's about, but I remember.
You see, this is why I think reality TV is so important, because it's the ephemeral, it's the throwaway. And the throwaway is what is going to define us. It always has. You talk to archaeologists; they're not busy looking for great works of literature. They're busy looking for fecal remains. And there are people who spend their entire life dedicated to finding to searching through. Through the remains in Roman lavatories in Hadrian's Wall. This is their life. What do you do? What do you do for a living, Daddy? I look at old toilets. It's a way forward, I suppose. But we shouldn't dismiss the ephemeral. We shouldn't dismiss the throwaway. And I think reality TV is there, and at its best, it picks up. By chance, real moments. Now, I don't think rafts colliding in Survivor is a real moment, but they did. They seem to be on route for collision throughout most of that little game.
Yeah, they had the course set up as like a crisscross. So they had to keep
the games today were the games today were almost as dull as the entire program.
That's why they put it on this episode. It's just like it all came full circle.
They're like, let's just take all the shitty footage we have and roll it into one episode.
And what's extraordinary is
Jeff Probst wasn't even
that sort of evident in today's in today's episode. He was taking a sort of backstage role. He obviously thought that Kathy peeing was enough, you know. Don't have anything to do here. Let's pee on the show.
Yeah, they had a hard time filling space in this episode, that's for sure.
I feel that's rather like a sort of critic's comment on the entire show. If you know, so I'm hoping for more. And I think if I had been Hunter, I would have felt really shortchanged that my entire leaving episode was dominated by urine.
And on that note, I think.
Do we have a urine focused advert?
Well, we have a advert focused on body parts that are used to urinate. So let's close.
Oh my goodness!
Have I
seen this before?
You have
we
actually,
saw it last
because
time.
The last episode that we did, we got a little carried away, and then this advertisement came on at the end, and I was laughing so hard that the viewers didn't get to see this because we were in the ad, but I was laughing so hard that I was crying because it went perfectly with the whole theme of our last show. So
with the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 swallow.
Goodness, yes. Did you notice Pascal took over from Probes today, kissing and slavering all over the icon. The idol.
I missed that.
Yeah. Pascal was doing Probes to favor there.
All right. Well,
let's go to the advert.
We're gonna wrap it up for tonight, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And make sure to hit up adfreenSFW.com. Check out the Johnny Fairplay, Matt Bischoff Patreon group, where you can get even more great content.
Look. Anthony Eros has come up with something absolutely bang on. The same family who owned Endemol, who made Big Brother in the UK, operates a sewerage system in East London. So reality TV and excrement are absolutely interchangeable. Kathy has clearly demonstrated something, which this is why it's iconic. So in fact, I'm wrong to be. I was going to say poo-pooing this episode, but that's probably another reference to bodily functions that maybe is inappropriate. But there we are.
All right, I wrote that down because I'm using that in the episode description. Reality TV and excrement are interchangeable. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Check out adfreenSFW.com if you want more great content from Reality NSFW, including patron-only podcasts that you don't get to see here on YouTube. So thank you all. And let's hear a word from our sponsors, Lucy and Blue Chew.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients, Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker, and the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.co. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.